Welcome to the Work Camper Show, a podcast devoted to helping you discover how to finance your RV travel dreams. I'm Steve Anderson, the president of Work Camper News. Each one of our episodes will either introduce you to people who are already living the RV lifestyle or to opportunities to work short-term jobs. You'll also learn how to hit the road the right way and make the most of every opportunity. Now let's turn over today's show to your host, Greg Gerber.
Thanks, Steve. This is the final show of the year and of the decade, so we're going to make it a good one by interviewing a woman who is what I'd classify as a super work camper who performs two jobs while on the road. This episode is sponsored by the National RV Training Academy in Athens, Texas. The Academy's one-week live training or home study course will teach you everything you need to know to fix about 80% of the problems people experience with their RVs. You can also sign up for additional training to become an RV inspector, campground technician, or to provide mobile RV service. For more information, visit www.nrvta.com. Robin Beach has been RVing with her husband Dennis full-time for 2 years. They've been RVing on weekends and vacations for 4 years before deciding to venture out year-round in their 40-foot Winnebago diesel pusher. One of the big motivators for full-time RVing was the ability to visit friends and family they hadn't seen in quite a while. It was just too difficult for them to fly in for a day or two only to leave right away. They wanted to spend some quality time connecting with people they care about. During that first year on the road, they moved quickly from one location to another. Too quickly, she says. Now she has a system for trip planning that she'll be happy to share with us. Couple embraced work camping as a way to slow down so they can really get to appreciate one area of the country at a time. Robin supports the adventure by working two jobs from their RV. The moneymaker involves doing medical coding from her computer, wherever that may be. With the major bills covered, it allows her to volunteer at state and federal parks in exchange for a free RV site. Her most recent job involved working at the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers project in the Dallas area. One of her tasks was to monitor the local weather and send reports to the nearby airport. Robin also describes the other tasks work campers typically do at Army Corps projects. The couple travels with what Robin calls three monster dogs, one of which weighs 130 pounds. She offers some advice to pet owners on ways they can make RVing easier on the dogs and to whomever their neighbors may be. Robin and Dennis created a YouTube channel to chronicle their adventures called Roaming with Rover. Here to tell us more about their life on the road and how she found jobs providing medical coding, as well as volunteer jobs to cover their camping costs, please welcome Robin Beach to the show. Thanks for taking the time to join me today, Robin. I appreciate it. How long have you been RVing and where are you from? Things like that.
For sure. I'm glad that you allowed me to be on your show. I really appreciate that. We are from Spokane, Washington, and this is our second full-time year of full-time RVing. We RVed 3 or 4 years before we decided to go out on the road permanently, and that came about because I got a job out of state, and I ended up staying in the motorhome for nearly a year while I was training in this other position. And Dennis had always wanted to go full timing, and I was just like, no, 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 no. And then when I did it for a year, I found out it's really nice. I really enjoyed it. And so we jumped on the bandwagon, and here we are.
What do you do, or what did you do at that time?
I work full time. I work full time from the RV. I do medical coding, and so I'm able to do that from my computer here in the RV.
Medical coding. So when people go to the clinic, you're the one who determines whether it is a level 1, 2, 3, or 4 doctor visit.
Yes, among all kinds of other things. That's correct.
I can imagine. What type of rig are you using?
We are in a Class A Winnebago 40-foot long diesel pusher, and we tow a small pickup.
That sounds like a nice rig.
It is.
Yeah. Well, and this is your... So you've been traveling 2 years as an RVer, and you're just getting into work camping at this point?
Yes. When we left town, this is just the beginning of our second year. We left town last November, and we had, like a lot of newbies, we had a whole list of things we wanted to do, places we wanted to see. It was extremely important to me that I get to see all the family and friends that I hadn't seen in such a long time. Because as you know, it's tough to go visit. And when you've only got a couple of weeks of vacation every year and you've got to fly in somewhere, figure out where you're going to stay and all of that. But when we decided to RV, we wanted to hit every location with every friend and every family member. And this allowed us the opportunity to do that. But in doing so, what you end up doing, and again, problematic for a lot of first timers, is you're going too far too fast. And it's really, it makes it really hard to get everything done that you want to do, because you want to do everything. You're so excited and you want to do everything. And you realize you just, it's just not possible.
Right. That's what I like most about work camping, is because you can stay in one area for several months and really get to know that area.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
And so I know when I started RVing full-time several years ago, I did the same thing. So I was moving every actually 5 to 7 days. And that gets to be exhausting after a while, doesn't it?
It is. It's exhausting. And not only is the exhausting of the moving every day and all of the driving, it's hard to figure out where you're going to stay, figuring out the logistics. When I'm planning a location to stay, you should see me. I have 8 different books spread all out. We belong to multiple different camping organizations. So I'm doing the RPI and the Coast to Coast and the Passport America, and it's all spread out with a big map and trying to figure out, okay, we got to be here by that day. So we've got 4 days here we're going to stay. Well, our membership isn't good there on weekends, so we got to figure out a different place over here. And a lot of times there's lots of great camping places, but they're 150 miles from where you actually want to be.
Right.
So, yeah, it's very exhausting.
So what attracted you to work camping?
We, as I said, this was our second year out. Our first year out, we made a almost complete circle of the United States. But in doing so, we had thousands of dollars in breakdown expenses, more than you can even imagine. It almost broke us. And so when we were ready to hit the road this year, I said, we need to go slower, we need to cover less ground, and we need to do it in a way that isn't so expensive for us. And I didn't necessarily need to find a position where we were going to have an income. And I know there's a lot of work camping places that do that. You hear about the beet harvest and you hear about the Amazon thing. And I've heard wonderful things about Dollywood. But I've also heard some really bad stories from people that have gotten positions where they're working extremely long hours and they're doing all kinds of things that I had no interest in doing. So I was looking for places where I could volunteer just for my space. And there are a ton of them out there. I enjoy doing volunteer work. And that's one of the things when you're full-time RVing that you don't always get the opportunity to do that. So when I started looking around and I, you know, thought about the federal parks and the state parks and things like that. And it's like every 10 minutes, there's some place where they need volunteers. So it was really pretty easy to find a location. We get an exchange of a place, our site with full hookups, which was the only thing I was interested in. So we get that in exchange for a certain number of hours of working.
Okay. So you get the campsite for free pretty much, and you are still making money by doing another job from your RV, which is a medical coding?
Correct. So okay. I work full-time with my medical coding. Dennis is retired disabled, so he gets some money from that. So he's not okay. Even allowed to work.
Okay. But then you're just investing a couple of hours a month in volunteering to cover the cost for your free campsite.
That's correct.
Oh, that sounds like a great deal. What kinds of things do you have to do to get that campsite then?
So the first place that we ended up at is an Army Corps of Engineer facility, and it's not anything like I thought it would be. So I was expecting camp host type of work, and when I got here, it's an office. And So I literally go into the office, and I'm the receptionist. I'm answering phones and I'm giving people information, and I'm giving people their hunting passes, and I'm doing office work, which I've done my whole life, so it's no big deal. Very, very low key, wonderful people to work with, and so it's really a pretty great first experience for me. We have a set schedule. I work 2.5 days a week in the office, and so I know exactly what days I work and what my schedule is going to be. So that works out very, very nicely.
Okay, very good. So, and then your other job, medical coding, allows you to work around that schedule. You can just,
yes,
and maybe even work both in the same day if you need to.
And I do. In order to get my hours in, I do have to do that sometimes. One of the fun things I didn't mention, one of the fun things that I get to do in this job is we have a weather station. And so I go out and every morning I go out and I check the temperatures and evaporation, water levels, rain levels, how much wind we had. So that's a really cool thing. And then that gets sent off to the airport.
Oh, that's neat. So you're helping to control air traffic in the Dallas area too, in a kind of roundabout way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Super. And so you're working the site, just basically checking people in and answering phones and things like that. Not real hard work at all. And you work
not at all
2 times a week, 2 days a week is all?
2.5 days. So I get 20 hours.
Okay. Oh, that's reasonable. Okay. Mm-hmm. Very good. Very good. And does the Army Corps of Engineers site that you're at use work campers in that capacity, or do they use them in other capacities as well?
They use them in other capacities. We are on actually a very large, well, probably not large for down here, but a pretty decent sized lake. It's called Grapevine Lake. And there are numerous, I think there's 3 marinas, and there's a golf course on the lake, and there's camping, and there's an area that the Boy Scouts use, or I suppose all the Scouts use for, they come in and do camping. There's hiking trails and horse trails and bike trails. And so there are lots of other volunteers over in that area doing those kinds of things.
How many work campers are employed at that site?
On where I'm at, there's just the 2 of us.
Okay.
And I honestly don't know about the other site. I know of 4 others, but I don't know other than that. I do know that there are some gates at the different parks, and they each have work campers handling the gates there.
Sure. I understand.
But it's a pretty small setup.
Okay. I understand you travel with a couple of furry companions.
Yes, my monster dogs.
Monster dogs.
We have monster dogs, yes. We have 3 dogs. We have the smallest one is a terrier, and he's about 20 pounds, and that's Joe. And then the middle one, her name is Sophie, and she is a mastiff lab mix, and she runs about 100 pounds. And then the big one is Max, and he is, he's licking my face right now. He is a bloodhound mastiff mix, and he runs about 125, 130 pounds.
We had a mastiff black lab, mastiff mix when I was living up in Wisconsin as well. Those are big boys.
He's a big boy. He is a big boy. We love them, though. And, you know, it's really nice because even though we've never had any trouble anywhere, it's just nice that big, deep voice of his kind of encourages people to not mess with us. And I just don't worry with him. I just don't worry with him around at all.
Okay, that's nice. Is there any specific challenges with traveling with pets, or does that make work camping even better?
Well, this is our first work camping position, and it has not been an issue whatsoever. They love the dogs. They come over and talk to them all the time. But just camping in general, some places have issues with dogs. They don't want big dogs for sure. And usually when I call, I'll say, we have dogs, and they go, okay, 2. And I say 3, and they're like, oh, and I just don't let it, you know, faze me. I just kind of carry on like everything's hunky dory. We've never been refused a campsite because of the dogs. We've never had any problems whatsoever. We have a great big fence that we put up around. So they've got a nice big area whenever we're at a campsite. And once in a while, I think actually only twice in all the places we've stopped, we've had people where they would not let us put the little fence up. But and then they're out there on a leash, and it's not as comfortable for them, but they still do just fine.
Okay.
They still do just fine.
So you haven't had to get any vet care or anything like that where you're on the road yet?
We haven't had any, knock on wood, we haven't had any vet emergencies. They get their full checkups. We go home. We go home pretty much every June. And so everybody gets all their checkups in June. The people, the dogs, and the RV gets all their well baby checkups.
Do the dogs like going to different places?
They love it. You know, it's funny, Max, the big one, he doesn't really like driving days. And so as soon as Dennis sits down in the driver's seat, he hightails it for the back, and he's nervous. And you'd think after a year of driving, he'd be used to it. But the first day or so, he just isn't happy about it. The other two, they don't care in the least. As soon as we start bringing in the slides, they jump up to their spot on the couch and they're ready to go.
That's funny. But Max, he has a little, takes a little bit more, I guess, travel time to be comfortable in where he's moving.
Yep.
Okay, very good. What are some of the other perks that you get to enjoy through camping or work camping? You've talked about the full hookups. Have you found any other fun perks?
Well, for us, the biggest perk is that we're near my daughter and her family. And so we get to spend the whole fall half an hour away from them instead of clear across the country, which is the reason that we actually took this particular position. It was not planned at all. Our plan was to leave town and head down to Quartzsite, which I was a little nervous about, but I've heard nothing but good things. So we were kind of excited and nervous. And Dennis, he doesn't care. Nothing bothers him. He was a truck driver for 40 years. So he'll hit the road and go anywhere. Doesn't care in the least. I'm still a little bit nervous about these unknown adventures. So we were headed out to Quartzsite, and I watch a lot of YouTube videos, and a guy named Steve Turtle has a lot of work camping videos. And so I was watching some of his videos, and he had talked about going on to this thing called Work Campers News, and you could find all kinds of cool jobs on there. So I popped on there, and I saw this position. This position was listed, and it was for October, November, December. And that was exactly the time frame we had available. And it was, like I said, a half an hour drive from my daughter's house. And so I called him up, and he had me send him a resume. That was on a Monday. On Friday, he called me and offered me the position. And he said, it's actually only till the beginning of December. So they've got somebody else coming in here after that.
Oh.
And so it just worked out perfectly for us. So we're down here for a couple of months. And so anytime I'm not in the office working or sitting at my desk working, I'm up watching the grandkids play football or having a music lesson or something like that.
That's very, very cool. When your current position ends, what do you plan to do next?
Well, when we first started looking into this work camping thing, I had gone on to, I think it's volunteer.gov, and had found some listings for the Army Corps of Engineers. And you put in basically an application, and you put in their areas that you're interested in working in. And I, of course, had put in Texas or Southern California, basically any place without snow. And I had gotten a call to come and work near Sacramento. And so talking to the lady, and had made all kinds of arrangements with her to set up and work in July, August, and September next year. And we set that up last year. So then a couple of months later, I get a phone call from another Army Corps of Engineer near the first location, and have made arrangements to work with them January, February, and March. So right after we leave here, we hightail it for the middle of California to go do some work camping at a lake over there.
Okay, so once you develop a good reputation within the Army Corps system, they'll call you for jobs, it sounds like.
That's what it seems like. I'm really surprised when I answer the phone and it's a park ranger asking me if I want to come and work at their site.
Well, that's neat. How many kids do you have?
I have two.
Okay.
Two girls, one in Washington and one down here in Texas. And then Dennis's daughter also lives in Washington.
Okay, very good. So you get to spend time with each of the kids, get paid while you're doing it, and it gives you the flexibility to travel with your dogs. Sounds like a really good opportunity.
It really is. It's been an adventure. It truly has. When we first hit the road, I thought that I would do a little blog about it, and that was beyond my ability. And so then the Cran kids convinced me that we could do a YouTube. So we're trying to do the YouTube, and anybody that wants to watch our madness is welcome to do that. It's been fun. It's been completely different than I expected it was going to end up being, but an absolute blast. Even with all the horrors of last year, it's still, most of the time, I don't regret it. There were some days.
Oh, yeah. And that's like that with everything. So, but most of the time, it's pretty good work. Where can people find your YouTube videos?
We're called Roaming with Rover. And it's when you look it up, you see the little picture of Max there in the front seat of the RV. So we're pretty new. Not a whole lot of videos on there. We've got a lot more coming. But again, big learning curve. Lots more involved in putting that together than I ever would have thought.
Right, the videos and things like that. A lot of people seem to be doing that, though. So that's kind of a neat way to chronicle your travels, help other people,
it
educate
really
them, and keep your family abreast of what you're up to.
Yes, that's how that all started, was just so that my friends and family could keep in touch. Because it's hard, even with technology nowadays, with all the texting and everything, it's still hard to connect with everyone and let them know, hey, this is where we are today, and this is where we're going tomorrow, and that sort of thing. So doing the little YouTube was a real good way of making that happen. And for us, it's super important because of my job. It's super important that anywhere we go, that we've got good internet. And that when you're traveling, and if that's something that's important to you, that's something that you really need to make sure is going to be available, because it isn't everywhere. That's one of the big things that we have run into as an issue.
Mm-hmm. And so are you pretty specific when you're talking to these camps work sites that you need this for your other job?
Yep. And I do. That's one of it's just like a job interview when you're talking to them, and I'm like, what are the hours going to be? And even this job's hours were probably not my first choice, because it's set hours in an office, and I like the ability to have more flexibility. And with the two upcoming jobs we have, they're very, very flexible on the job. There's projects or assignments that need to be done, but they just need to be done by this time of day. So I can get up at 5 and do them if I want, and then I can do them the rest of them after work. This one with a set schedule in an office is a little trickier for me to work around that time frame. And so when you're on the phone with them and you're having that interview with them, and if that's something that's important, that's something that you need to discuss and bring up. And like I said, with us, the ability to bring the dogs, and I was not interested in a place that did not have a full hookup. And I know a lot of them will not have sewer. And that's real important to us. Although we can, we have a workaround for that, it's still something I don't want to mess with.
I know a lot of sites that do offer a campsite for their work campers that does not include sewer. More times than not, they're already arranging for the honey wagon to come by and pump you out. So it's not something you have to like pack everything up again and then travel 5 miles to dump your tanks and come back and set up. It seems like they work with you in that kind of situation.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. And when you're looking at the listings, they say, they'll say right in them, housing available or no housing. And when they say housing, usually that's what they're talking about is the site, the hookup. It's just the way they word it. But yeah, when I talk to them on the phone, I'm like, are the dogs going to be an issue? Nope. Okay. And I say, okay, how's the internet? And usually the response is, we don't provide internet, but you'll have no problem picking it up.
Okay. Well, that works as long as you have access. Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's all I need to know.
You know, a lot of people have this misconception about work camping that it only involves campgrounds or hospitality industry and things like that. But you have a job working from your RV, which makes you mm-hmm. a work camper anyway. How did you find this coding job?
Well, funny thing, I actually went to school and got a degree and actually got a job in my field. So, I mean, you know, who knew?
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I had worked for local government for 25 years, and I had always wanted to work in the medical field, but I was at an age where I didn't think I would be able to handle the physical demands of, like, nursing or something like that. So I found this degree area called health information management. And so I went to school and I got my degree, and a friend of mine had gotten a job out of state doing the coding, which all the time going to school, there's a million jobs that are available in that field with our degree. But the only one that you could work from home was the coding. And both of us, that was our goal, was to be able to work from home. And so she got a position out of state, and I got a position in a local hospital. I was still in the hospital doing my work. And she said, hey, you need to do this. We're hiring. And so I got the job, but I had to go down there to do, you know, the first few months of on-site training. And so we already had the motorhome. And we had already been, you know, local camping a month here, or not a month, sorry, a week in here, a week there. And so we already were familiar with that end of it. And so Dennis says, well, let's just set you up down there in the motorhome and you can do that. And I think in the back of his mind, he's like, this will convince her to do it. And he stayed at home. We had some exchange students living with us, and we had the dogs and the house and all that goes with that. And he helped out with my mom. And so I went down there and lived in the motorhome, and it just worked perfectly.
That's neat. Would you need a degree to do medical coding?
Some places don't require it, but you have a better chance to get into the field if you have the degree and the national certification. I have what's called an RHIT, Registered Health Information Technician.
I'm sure.
And it's a national test that you have to take. So that does help if you don't have experience, especially.
I'm sure just having the degree, though, makes you more familiar with the medical terms and things like that that you're likely to encounter and the job.
Oh, yes.
Okay, super. So other people would be able to get this kind of degree, or if they already have experience doing that, could do it from the road without a problem.
Absolutely. The majority of jobs in this particular field are work from home. There's actually very few anymore where you work on site, or a lot of places like our hospital, you worked on site for a while, and then after that, you could go home.
Is there any advice that you would give to people who are thinking about entering the work camping lifestyle?
Make sure that you have multiple ways of accessing internet, if that is going to be important for your job. And make sure you have money for repairs. You're going to need repairs. There's going to be problems. It's going to cost more and take longer than you expect. I love the lifestyle, but like I said, it's far more expensive than I ever expected it to be. And part of it is because we don't have the ability to do repairs ourselves. I watch a lot of these videos, and the guys are crawling underneath, and they're crawling on top, and they're installing stuff. But we don't have that ability to do those kinds of things. In the past, he could have done all of that. But because of his disabilities, that's not something he's able to do anymore. And so, yes, we are more dependent on the repair shops and all that's involved with that.
That makes sense. I know that the National RV Training Academy has a one-week course that they can teach people how to fix almost 80% of the problems they have with their RVs. But I understand the physical limitations in your situation makes it impossible to do that, and you're more reliant upon the dealerships and the mobile techs to do it. But you still can get things fixed just about anywhere, right?
Yes. And I love the mobile techs. I think mobile techs are wonderful. I have had nothing but good experiences with them. And all over the country, we were in North Carolina, and we had some weird electrical problem. And we called this guy, and he drove 90 miles out to us and fixed the problem in half an hour, and even had spare parts in his truck for other things that we had that we were like, yeah, someday we need to deal with this. Oh, I think I got a part for that right here, you know. And it was like the whole thing was like $200, where if I'd have called, you know, a big box store, it would have been 6 weeks out to get an appointment, and it would have been $500, and it would have been 2 months waiting for parts.
Right.
So these mobile repair guys are just a lifesaver for RV people. I just can't speak highly enough. And that training class you're talking about, I have looked into it, and I have even thought for me, because I'm not a girly girl by any means at all, but I'm also spoiled because Dennis takes such good care of me. And I have seriously thought about going through that program myself. And I do think, even if it just gave me a better understanding of things, so when we have some weird little electrical problem or something's gone wrong with the inverter, I'm not completely freaking out thinking the sky is falling. And, hey, maybe this is just a quick little fix, and maybe I can do it, you know? So I have seriously thought about going through that training, and that's right here in Texas. So
that's right.
It's a neat program.
Very good. Well, thank you so much, Robin. I really appreciate the time. You provided a wealth of information for newbies and experienced work campers, and I wish you the best of luck in your travels. Hope you make some great memories.
Oh, thank you so very much. And we are, and I really appreciate your time as well.
I really appreciated Robin Beach sharing her story with us because I think it's a wonderful message for several reasons. First, it proves that work camping means doing any work inside an RV, not just working at campgrounds. Medical coding is an excellent service to provide while working on the road. You log in, access the files, and apply the proper coding. All you need is electricity and an internet connection. Then, Robin's story demonstrates that if you're going to park your RV somewhere for months at a time, you might as well do that for free. Working as a volunteer allows her to meet new people, and it gets her out of the RV 20 hours a week. When I was full-time RVing and working for my rig, I was often staring outside the window as life unfolded around me, but I was chained to my computer. Robin's method is much better, in my opinion. Robin's story points to another problem most RVers have, and that is finding a place to get their rigs repaired. Although mobile technicians saved the day for her on several occasions, when RV owners learn to fix things by themselves, they actually enjoy even more freedom because they aren't reliant upon finding a dealership or mobile technician to keep them on the road. That's where the National RV Training Academy in Athens, Texas can be a big game changer for full-time RVers. The Academy's one-week live training or home study course will teach you everything you need to know to fix about 80% of the problems people experience with their RVs. You can also sign up for additional training to become an RV inspector, campground technician, or to provide mobile RV service. For more information, visit www.nrvta.com. Robin is unusual in that she has two work camping jobs, and only one of them is at a fixed location. Work Camper News is a magazine and online publication that connects RVers to full and part-time jobs around the country. Whether it's running a business from your RV or working short-term jobs for a variety of employers, Work Camper News can give you information to help you plan a course to live your own dream and get you on the road faster than you thought possible. For more information about opportunities to live, work, and play in your RV, visit www.workcampernews.com. workcampernews.com. That's all we have for today's show. Next time, we'll kick off the new year talking with a couple of real geeks. Chris and Jim Gold run a business called Geeks on Tour that helps RVers fully utilize technology to their advantage. They'll tell us about how they run their business from their RV. We'll see you next time on The Work Camper Show. Thanks for listening.